Amen. You can be seated. John chapter 6 this morning. John chapter 6, verse 6 to 3 is where we're going to pick up this morning. I see Mr. Ramos trying to get you woke up and not daydreaming too much here. So last night, my daughter, 4-year-old, Pastor Dammer, was talking about, he was talking about being a fisherman, you know, and how he's not a professional fisherman and all this. And my parents were here last night, so my 4-year-old was sitting down the aisle a ways, and I couldn't get a hold of her, you know, get her attention. She was down there. I look over there, you know, 5 feet away, and she's doing this number. You know, totally oblivious. And she kept on doing this, you know, and all of a sudden she goes. I'm like, trying to get her attention, it didn't work. So there was something going on in her head. We know it was a kid's song, but hopefully you'll pay attention a little bit better than that today. So John chapter 6, verse 6 to 3. I actually have a very serious message this morning. I came across this. I've come across it before, but here recently the Lord's really been working on my heart about this question that we're going to be looking at this morning. Starting in verse number 63, Jesus is having a huge discussion with the Jews here. And I'll go back in the context a little bit throughout the message as we go along. But here in verse 63, Jesus is almost at the end of this back and forth tense argument with the Jews. He says, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not." And this is a key part of our message this morning. "There are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12," and this is the title of our message this morning, "Will ye also go away? Will ye also go away?" This is a question that Jesus asks of his disciples. I thought, as I was reading through this for a long time, I've thought, oh, Jesus, you know, he's sad that these other disciples turned back and didn't walk anymore with him. And so he kind of, you know, pleadingly asked these 12 disciples, "Are you going to leave me too?" And I don't believe that's what he's asking. As I studied through this and as you take it into the context, there's actually a little bit different way that this question is being asked this morning. It's a very serious question. "Will ye also go away?" Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this morning, this time where we can gather around your word and have this time of just challenging ourselves to this question: will ye also go away? Lord, there's some in here that don't believe. They don't really believe. They don't really believe in the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And Lord, I pray that this morning we would ask ourselves this question: if we truly believe. And Lord, I pray that you convict us. Help us today. Help me as I preach. Give me the clarity of mind and the words to say. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm glad I'm saved this morning. I'm glad that I'm on my way to... I'm glad when I was a young teenager, about 14 years old, that I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. My parents had gotten saved when I was 7 years old, but I wanted to be kind of like my brothers and sisters who they had also gotten saved. And so when I was 8 years old, I went to my mom and I said, "Mom, I want to be saved like my siblings are saved. I'm like my brother," and I didn't know the word siblings, "but I want to be saved like my brothers and my sisters." And so she didn't really know too much at the time, but she said, you know, why don't you go down and you can talk to the pastor at the end of the service and you can get saved. And so at the end of the church service, they woke me up and they dragged me down there and they said that I got saved. My mom wrote it in her diary. So when I'm about 12 years old, I got really concerned. I realized I don't remember getting saved. You know, I was asleep. And so it hit me for the first time that I personally had to be saved. And I believed on Christ for my sin, to forgive my sins. It wasn't anything that I did, but I believed. I simply believed. I trusted him. I said, look, I can't get myself to heaven. I'm trusting you to take me to heaven. Being saved for us is easy. It's simple. It's simply believing. Anybody can be saved. The Bible says, whosoever will may come. Anybody from a Nicodemus who was a very proud ruler and so on, he was able to be saved. You can have a thief on the cross and he can be saved. Anybody can be saved. You teenagers and all the college students, anybody can be saved. It's simply believing. But it's not that easy to be a disciple of Christ. It's not that simple. The concept is the same. It's simply believing, but it's much easier at one point in your life to trust Christ for salvation, and that point then is settled. It's much easier to do that one time, one point in your life, than it is for during your life, all of your life, every day to wake up and to trust Christ for that day. It's a lot more difficult. And Jesus here makes this very clear in John chapter 6. One of my favorite chapters in all of the Bible. John chapter 6, John chapter 8 is right up there with it also. Where we see these confrontations going on between Jesus and the Jews. And Jesus points out very clearly to the Jews. Boy, he sticks the knife in the wound and he just twists it over and over and over again. He says, you know, they said, how can you be the bread from heaven? How can you be the Son of God? And Jesus, he just literally three times after they said, well, we're mad that you say you're the Son of God, that you came down from heaven. Three times after that, here in the same chapter, Jesus said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. Well, he just sticks it right back in there. We see this confrontation going on. But the point is that if you believe in Jesus for salvation, if you believe in him for your eternity in heaven, then believe in him for your discipleship, for the rest of your life. Believe in him enough to follow him all of your life. And so if you believe something, it's assenting to something, it's agreeing to something. But true belief, true faith, moves you to action. I think of a couple stories right here in this passage, and I'm not going to have you turn there because of time, but think about this little boy who gave his lunch to Jesus. It's at the beginning of the chapter. And he believed that Jesus could do something with his lunch. I mean, if somebody came to me for my lunch, they're going to have to fight me for my lunch, right? Because I take lunch pretty seriously. But this little boy, Jesus, or actually Philip, came and said, hey, can we have your lunch? Jesus wants your lunch. And that little boy, listen, young people, you teenagers, this little boy believed enough to give away his lunch. You take on the other hand, there was a story of a rich ruler, a rich young ruler, and he said, look, came to Jesus, I want to follow you. And Jesus said, okay, if you want to follow me, then sell everything that you have, give it to the poor, and come and follow me. And of course, we know the rich ruler didn't. Why? Because he didn't really believe. He wanted some of the advantages of being a follower of Christ, but when it came down to it, he didn't really believe that Jesus was worth following. He didn't really believe. Listen, all of you young people, if you believe something, if you really believe in Jesus Christ, that he's the Messiah, you really believe that he saved you from your sins, if you really believe that he has a home in heaven waiting for you, and if you really believe that he knows more how to make you happy in your life than you do, then follow him. Let him have his way. You know, Jesus isn't really impressed with all of these people following him. Let me point out several things here from our passage this morning. First of all, in John chapter 6, we see this dynamic miracle taking place early in John chapter 6. And again, for time's sake, I'm not going to go through the whole story, but there are several miracles that take place. First, the first miracle is that there's about 5,000 men here on the side of the Sea of Galilee, and women and children. Estimates put it between 15 and 20,000 people. And Jesus feeds these people with nothing more than 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And these people all eat leftovers everywhere. That's the best way to go, right? Leftovers. I'm a big fan of leftovers. Especially when it's potatoes and all these other things. I love those kinds of leftovers. Meat. But they had plenty of leftovers. This great miracle. And Jesus had all kinds of followers. You know, it's easy to draw a crowd when you're giving away something, isn't it? It's easy to draw a crowd when you're doing something exciting. Man, when there's a miracle to be seen, you know, I'll count me in. You know, I'd like to be there. I want to see this. And so Jesus does this great miracle. And then he sneaks away, literally, up into the mountaintop to pray. And there, while he's there praying, the disciples head out in a boat across the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus walks on the water out to those disciples. Now think about this. The disciples had seen this great miracle, the feeding of the 5,000 men. The disciples now, in the middle of the night, in private, they see Jesus walking on the water. Now, give them credit. They didn't get so caught up in what they saw that they forgot who Jesus was. You see, the multitudes, they only saw what Jesus had done and the food that Jesus had given them. They followed Christ because it was convenient. They followed Christ because it was favorable to themselves. They didn't follow Christ because they recognized who he was. And I think that's the difference between them and the 12 disciples. The 12 disciples saw who Jesus was. He's not just a welfare man. He's not just a health care giver. He is he's the Son of God who has power over nature. He's the Son of God who can take bread and just multiply it over and over and over and over and over again. They saw Jesus for who he really was. Listen, when you get past a system, when you can get past saying, well, this is what we do here, and yes, we get so caught up in our little system of life that we forget who it's all about. We forget that it's about Jesus Christ. It sounds bad in a way, but it's not just about my bus route. It's not just about my family. Listen, my family and my bus route and my ministries and you and all of we need to see Christ in our ministry, in our family. We need to see Christ personally. And I'm going to challenge you later on. I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'm going to challenge you at the end. Listen, you need to meet with God every day. You need to meet, and I'm not talking about reading your Bible. I'm not talking about just praying a prayer, praying through a list. I'm saying you need to meet with God every day because that's what will help you really believe in him. You'll really see him doing a work. So this dynamic miracle, Jesus calming the storm, he's feeding the 5,000. And all of these people, man, when they come across they walked around the Sea of Galilee, they were looking for Jesus. All they saw was somebody who could help them. This is something I want. You know, Jesus, why are you leaving us? Where'd you go? We see them asking this question down in verse number 24 and 25. Verse 25, they said, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? In other words, how'd you get over here? Why'd you leave us? We need you. Listen, you young people, it's easy for you and it's easy for any of us to get caught up in some excitement. Boy, when things are exciting, everybody wants to be there. But if you're just living from excitement to excitement to excitement, That's no way to live as a Christian. You need to meet Jesus himself. You need to meet and find out who it's really about and what it's really about. It's not about some excitement. It's not about, you know, a fall push. It's not about just some big event. It's about Jesus. Listen, young people, teenagers, if you're here because your parents have you here, if you're here because it's convenient, if you're here because you don't want to break your mother's heart, if you're here because of anything other than Christ, you're eventually going to fall away. It's the way it works. You're eventually going to say, you know, I don't think this is really what I wanted to do. I don't really see the benefit for myself anymore. So we see these people coming to Jesus Christ, and they're wondering why he left them. They want to be with him, but for the wrong reason. So we see the dynamic miracle. Secondly, we see the direct message. Look at verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed." So he's talking about meat. He brings up this idea of meat. Oh, man, if anybody knows about meat, it's these serious Jews who they know their history. They know their background. Moses and the manna, that meat in the wilderness. Oh, they said, "Jesus, we know about meat. You know, even the great Moses, what did he do?" And this is what they're saying in essence. "Moses fed us all the meat we needed. So you should too. We're following you for the meat, and you're criticizing us." But those people in the wilderness, they followed Moses because of the manna, is what they're saying. And Jesus comes right back at him, and he says, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth." Jesus in verse 32 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven." Jesus took their little argument and just said, no, that's not true. Moses did not give you that manna in the wilderness. It was God that gave you that manna, and it's God that gives you this meat from heaven. I love Jesus' way of speaking to these Jews. Verse 33, "For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread." Hey, if it's that good, I want it. Right? I want it. This is what I'm here for, Lord. And Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." You know what the direct message here is? It's not about bread. It's not about what you get out of it. It's about Jesus Christ. And as I mentioned, the system, listen, all of us are in a system. All of you from this church, you have a system that you've grown up in, and it's comfortable to be in that system to a certain point. It's comfortable. Listen, you can fit in. You can do what you're supposed to do, even if you're not from this church, which I'm not originally from here. I went to a small Christian school. Listen, it was easy as long as I was in that school. It was easy for me to serve God. It was easy to go soul winning because that's what we did. It was easy to read my Bible, really, because that's the setting that I was in. My parents read the Bible to us, and we read the Bible on our own. Listen, it was easy in that setting to serve God. But the day has to come, listen, when I myself believe in God, not for my salvation only, but for my life. What do I believe in? Listen, you as a young person, and I keep saying young person, I'm referring to the high schoolers on the side, but it's all of you, right? Compared to me, anyway. Listen, you as teenagers, it's so easy in this setting to serve God. But you've got to believe for yourself. Be like this little boy. Now, I'm going to get to the end. I'm keep wanting to jump ahead. But you know what you need to do? You need to be like this little boy in this story who gave his lunch. Give something yourself. You know, when you give something, you believe in it. When you give something, you believe in it. Get involved. Give something up yourself. Give something to God, to the church, to your to the ministry that you're involved in. You give some of your own life, and it'll show much more of what you believe in, and you'll begin to believe in it. Listen, I believe in this idea of giving, and it really changes your mentality on what you believe in. So these people, they followed him for the loaves, and Jesus seriously rebuked them. Now we're getting to the main part here. Next, thirdly, I want you to see the departing multitude. Verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Now, my thinking originally on this was that Jesus was feeling sorry that they were leaving. And I've come to the conclusion that is absolutely not the case. Jesus knew, I'm not saying Jesus didn't love these people, because he certainly did. He saw them as sheep without a shepherd. But I also see here that Jesus knew that these people, because they didn't really believe, and there's a hard, difficult time, this is a hard saying, this is a hard time, they're going to fall away anyway. They're not going to believe. And Jesus, he lets them go. Now, what kind of a preacher is this? He's got 5,000 men and women and children at the beginning of the chapter. And by the end of the chapter, he's got 12, and he says, one of you is a devil. You know, this isn't quite the enlargement campaign here, you know. The ensmallment campaign is more like it. I mean, he separated the saints from the ain'ts, somebody said. Listen, Jesus, let these people go. Listen, and where I say this is a serious message is, Jesus isn't going to beg you to stay. He's not going to, keep the money coming. Keep all my friends, my followers, keep following me. Please follow me. I have more to tell you later. You'll understand when we get down the road a little ways. Please keep following. He never does that. These thousands walk away from Jesus, and Jesus, instead of looking at the disciples and pleading, saying, now please, y'all are staying with me, right? Surely I have some friends left. He looks at them with this attitude, and I think it's seen in the context. He looks at them and he says, are y'all leaving too? There's the door. If you don't believe, you can go. I mean, he literally looks at the 12, and instead of saying, you know, please stay, I'm glad you all are my faithful few. He looks at them and he says, are you leaving? You can, if you don't believe, you can leave, because one of you is a devil. But it's not really what we want to hear. We want to hear Jesus begging us to stay. We want to hear Jesus saying, oh, please don't leave me. Listen, I believe in love and I believe in caring and so on. But if you don't believe, you're going to fall away anyway. That's the warning. That's the danger. These departing multitudes, they head out on their own. They just didn't believe. They didn't really think that Jesus was who he said he was. They didn't really believe that Jesus could change their lives. They didn't really believe that Jesus would one day be a king. And he will, by the way. They didn't really believe that Jesus was the bread from heaven. I can't imagine that. I love to think about what it'd be like to actually be with Jesus Christ at this time. I hope I would have been a believer, you know. This is the bread from heaven, the Son of God. Do you really believe that? No, not your parents, not your teachers, not your roommates, not your establishment, not the system. This is what we believe. No. What do you believe? Are you personally close to Jesus Christ? Are you personally close to him? I mentioned this in one of my classes this morning. Some people talk about, you know, I got saved when I invited Jesus into my heart. Well, that's kind of true. But really what it is when I chose to give myself to him. That's something you choose to do, something that's life-changing. Do you personally want to be close to Christ? You say, I'm just in seventh grade. I mean, you don't understand. I got a long way to go. And this is what my family believes. You, every single one of you, should be close to Jesus Christ, personally, this departing multitude. Listen, being lukewarm is not an option when it comes to Christ. Jesus offered a choice between two things. There's two gates. There's two ways. There's two sons. There's two masters. There's two servants. There's two destinations. It's one or the other. You have to make that choice. And an easy way for you to look inward and see if I've not made this choice is to see, who do you obey? Who do you follow? What do you really believe? Because if you believe something, you're going to act on it. Somebody that goes out and says, hey, I want to make a lot of money. You know what they believe? They believe that the answer to their happiness is money. That's what they believe. My goal is to make $1 million by the time I'm 30. I had a friend when I was 18 who said that. My goal is to make $1 million by the time I'm 18. You know what he did? He believed that, so he really worked. I don't think he ever made his $1 million. But he believed that was going to bring him happiness. Look at what you do. Look at what you spend your time doing. Do you spend your time? You're here to train. You're here to learn from the Bible. How much time do you spend in it? How much time do you spend studying it? Is that really what you believe? Not only do we see this group leaving Christ, the departing multitude, but lastly we see the dedicated minority. Peter's answer, I love this. Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Where am I going to go? Psalm 73, Asaph says, whom have I in heaven but thee, and there is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. This is a man who had a wife and children. And he said, in comparison, there's nobody I want on earth except you, God. Lord, to whom shall we go? What a great question. Peter didn't have a plan B at this point. Later on, he did. See, it's a daily fight. Later on, he had a plan B. I think I'm going to go back to fishing because I'm tired. Oh, no. He came back. Because he realized, no, the answer to my happiness is not in fishing, it's in Jesus Christ. Listen, when your joy is in a system, and by the way, I love the system that I'm in. I love the system that my children are in. I'm not saying I don't. I love being here at Fairhaven. But I'm not here because of a system. I'm here because of Jesus Christ. I personally believe that when I do what he wants, I'm going to be happy. I could probably go somewhere and make more money. I could probably go somewhere and have more things. But I don't want those things. Listen, because I believe, and it ought to be that way for every one of us. There's no other plan B. There's no other option. To whom shall we go? What am I going to go back to? I'm burning the bridges. I'm just going straight ahead for the Lord. The dedicated minority. To whom shall we go? This serious caution that Jesus gives to Peter and to the other disciples. After Peter says, we believe, we're sure that you are the Christ. We believe that, Jesus answered them. Have not I chosen you 12 and one of you is a devil? Listen, when Jesus is asking this question, he's challenging them again. He's saying, look, just because you passed the first test, when everybody else left, oh, I'm still here. Some of us like to say that. Yeah, such and such a person, they left the church. But I'm still here. That's not a sign that you believe. Listen, whether you believe or not is literally, it's between you and God. These other disciples, they didn't know. Even later on, when the very moment came for Judas to get up and walk out of the Last Supper, the other disciples looked at Jesus when he offered, and he said, one of you is about to betray me. And they all said, is it I, Lord? Is it me? Listen, these disciples, they didn't know who it was. It's in your heart. You know if you believe or not. And you know if you're only here because your parents have you in a system, or your pastor has you in a system, or your parents, they expect you to do good and to finish, or whether you truly believe or not. You might pass the first test. All the multitudes leave, I'm still here. But eventually, if you're a Judas pretending that you are a part of the esteemed 12, I'm here. Man, there's only a few of us left, but I'm one of them. And the funny thing is, not funny, but Judas knew all along that it was him, I think. Judas knew that he was sneaking around. Judas knew that he was a pretender all along. And here he is. He gets called out, not by name, but Jesus knows. Jesus knows. Jesus sees straight through us. He knows. Do you believe? Listen, if you believe this morning, do what he says to do. Believe in him personally. Listen, this boy who gave his lunch, perfect example. He said, I can keep it for myself, and it won't mean much. It'll fill me up a bit. That wasn't a lot of food, by the way. That wasn't enough to really fill it. These weren't big, you know, fish fillets, you know, McDonald's fish fillet sandwiches or anything like that. These were little fishes. And this is a little bread. And it would have kind of filled him up a bit. Or I can give it away because I believe that he's real. I believe that this disciple, Philip, is going to take it to the master and he's going to be able to do something with it. I really believe. And so what did he do? He gave. He got involved himself in the situation. Listen, if you give and if you really believe, I'm sorry, if you give, you will show that you really believe. And when you give more and you give more and you get more involved, listen, you're showing your belief. You're showing that you personally trust in God and not just because of what system you're in, what situation you're in, what family you're in, and so on. Let's close our eyes, bow our heads. Lord, we need challenged. Lord, there's young people all through here today, I believe, many of them, they're here. Lord, that's good. Lord, they follow you, and that's good, but they're doing it for the wrong reasons. And Lord, they need to have their eyes open today that they themselves need to step out and trust you. They themselves need to say, you know what? I don't care what everybody else does. I don't care what my family does. I don't care what my friends do. I don't care what my roommates do. I don't care what all the people back home, the friends I have back home. I'm going to trust you myself. I'm going to step out. Lord, I pray that you'll challenge us today and that none of us would walk away from you. Lord, may we take this serious question from Jesus today. Will ye also go away? And I pray, God, that'd be none of us. Lord, that we'd all truly believe. Thank you, Lord, for this passage. Help us today now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. It's been a quick message, but I hope a very serious one. Jesus isn't begging you to stay. Jesus is simply asking you, do you believe? Do you believe? And so if the Lord is dealing with your heart, maybe you've been putting on a show. Maybe you've been pretending.